to Mark's, Mark's Gospel. Mark's Gospel, chapter 10. Begin reading in verse 46, a very familiar story that every one of us know. You folks that have taught Sunday school, you've taught this lesson, I'm certain. A very familiar passage of Scripture. But from a very familiar passage that's before us this morning, I want us to take maybe a little different look at this particular text than we have before. That's what is so unique about the Word of God. You can read a passage of Scripture and get something out of it, and then turn around maybe a few months later, read that same passage of Scripture and get something else out of it you never saw the first time you read it, or the third time you read it, or the fifth time you read it. But the sixth time you read it, boy, you says, well, I never seen that before. That is what's so wonderful and unique about the Bible, because God knows in our stage of life what we need and when we need it. And so oftentimes things that we don't get the first, the second, or the 12th, or the 50th time, He gives it to us our 51st time. That's what's so great. And I appreciate the Word of God. And I know you do also. But look at it with me again. Mark's Gospel, chapter 10, verse 46. It's the story of blind Bartimaeus. And they came to Jericho. And as they went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he had heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort. Rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Now think with me for a few moments, if you would please, about this blind man, Bartimaeus. How long he'd been blind? Perhaps his entire life. Maybe born blind. I don't know. Maybe as a teenager, he got some sort of disease in his eyes and went blind because of the disease. Maybe as a young adult, had some sort of accident, and because of the accident, he was blinded. However long, I don't know. Perhaps his whole life, walking in darkness. I'm sure it was customary for him, as it was for most the infirm of that day, relying on other people in their love and their charity to provide for their livelihood. I think it'd be customary for Bartimaeus to stay by the highway there that led from Jericho, there with his garments around him to keep the elements away from him. There, as he would hear people pass by and cry out, perhaps holding up his hand and saying, alms, 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 charity, a gift, please, for the blind. Perhaps once a week he'd do that. Perhaps Every other day, he would do that. But more than likely, it was his custom every day. He sat by the highway side begging. Well, here he was again on this day. There in his spot, and perhaps heaven, that was his spot. And his kind neighbors or maybe a relative or others would lead him to that spot. His favorite spot by the highway, knowing that people would be coming by again that day as days before. And again he would cry out, "Alms! Alms for the blind! A gift, perhaps! Mercy, please! I'm blind! Help me!" There he was again, stationed by the highway side, begging. But this day was different than any other day in his life. Bartimaeus, I believe, has been in a rut. Now, not of his own making, but nonetheless a rut that he would not like to be in. Every day along the highway side, begging and relying on other people to meet his needs because he was incapable of meeting his own needs. He couldn't hold a job. He was blind. And there he was in that rut. I imagine every morning as he would bathe himself, as he'd struggle to get on his clothes, again relying on a neighbor or a relative to lead him by the hand, to take him to his familiar position by the highway there. And then again this morning, doing it day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, the same routine. He found himself in a rut. But this particular day would be a day in his life like never before in his entire existence. There he was at his station, along the highway side, arms extended, hand opened, asking alms again for the passers-by. On this day, there he was stationed again. Alms! But he hears a commotion like he's never heard before. He can't see what's going on, obviously, but he relies on his ear hearing because I'm sure very sensitive. Could hear what perhaps other people could not hear. And he judged by the uproar, by the crowd, by the noise. It was an unusual gathering. A great number of people coming by the highway. Again, arms extended, hand opened. Alms for the blind! Then he heard something that thrilled his heart. In this huge gathering, this huge crowd coming down the road, here was one that he had heard about. The miracle man. He had heard about Jesus of Nazareth, and it was told to him the reason for the crowd that Jesus of Nazareth is about to pass by. He was tired of the rut. And he saw an opportunity he had never had before. Perhaps in his imagination, he could see himself one day asking that Jesus would do something for him that only Jesus could do, and that was to get him out of his rut. There was no doctors with medication. There was no surgeons to perform surgery on his blinded eyes. His whole life had known nothing but blindness, and the rest of his life would be the same. Except maybe that if somehow or another that he could meet Jesus of Nazareth, that he could get him out of his rut. That someone could get him out of his rut, that he wouldn't have to rely on other people for his existence. That he could do things for himself. He could actually go to work and hold a job and earn money and not rely on people to give to him for his existence. He could be self-reliant If only he could get to Jesus of Nazareth. And now was his opportunity. It was Jesus of Nazareth in a huge crowd coming down this road. And he realized, now is my opportunity. And by the way, may I say this? It wasn't an ideal circumstance, was it? Now think about it. There was a huge crowd. In this huge crowd, there was a lot of excitement because he was well known because he was the man of miracles. And he was coming through their city, Jericho. His disciples in a huge crowd, it tells us in our text, was with him. So the circumstances were not ideal by any stretch of the imagination. An ideal circumstance would be that Jesus one day would come and knock on his door and say, Bartimaeus, I understand that you're blind, and I come here today to heal you of your blindness, and I want to do that. Now, wouldn't that be an ideal circumstance? Now, this is certainly not an ideal circumstance, but by no stretch of imagination. Because one voice crying in a multitude of other voices as they made their way leaving Jericho, what chance had he to have his voice heard above all the other voices of those crying to Jesus? But he had one opportunity. Maybe never before we have another opportunity like this. So he says, I'm tired of the rut. I know the circumstances are not perfect, but I'm going to act right now. Now, folks, please hear me this morning. It's easy to get in a rut. Sometimes not of our making. Sometimes the making of someone else has thrown us into a rut. But sometimes, because of our own decisions that we make, our own misbehavior, some things that we've done, we have found ourselves repeatedly in a rut, and we don't like the rut that we're in. People get themselves in a rut. I'll be honest with you. There's been times in my life that I discovered, uh-oh, I'm in a rut. And by the way, there's no happiness and joy in a rut. I've heard when someone say, all a rut is a grave with the ends kicked out. That's all a rut is. But it's easy, folks, for us to find ourselves doing over and over and over and over and over again with no joy and real no purpose. But we find ourselves in a rut. We're not happy in the rut. But sometimes we have a hard time saying, well, how can I get out of this rut? I don't like the rut I'm in. I'm not a happy person. Now, I need someone, something, something to get me out of this rut. Now, folks, I contend this morning. That as Barnabas realized the rut he was in, and realizes there's only one hope for him to get out of that rut, and that hope was soon to pass right next to him. And he realized if he's going to get out of the rut, he had to depend not on himself, because he was really hopeless. He was blind. He could do nothing about it. He had to depend on Jesus, the one who was the great healer, to get him out of the rut. And folks, so many times in our lives, we'll find ourselves in a rut. Maybe not of our making, perhaps of our own making. But the truth of the matter is sometimes, folks, we find ourselves in the rut that other people can't help us out of it. We've asked for their help, but they seem to be powerless. We're trying to climb out of the rut ourselves to only fall back in the rut. Sometimes we get in some ruts that the only way to get out of this rut is through the power of the Lord Jesus Christ in our life. I don't know about you. But sometimes life can be very tiring. Life can be very demanding. And life can become a ritual of doing and doing and doing and doing. And sometimes we find there's no joy. We find ourselves in a rut. And we have to come to where Bartimaeus came. We have to realize that if there's going to be any lifting up out of the rut we find ourselves in, it can only come through the power of Christ and not of our own making. And we can't rely on someone else to get us out of the rut. It's a rut that only Christ Himself can get us out of. I would imagine most people in this room this morning, one day you found yourself in a rut of sin. You found yourself in a rut of hopelessness. But then you heard of Jesus. You heard there was a way out. And you were tired of spinning your wheels and sin after sin and after sin and after sin. And you find yourself in misery and no hope, living in hopelessness. But then one day you heard the gospel, that Jesus is the cure for your sin problem. And turning over a new leaf, which you tried over and over again, never seemed to help, because you find yourself right back in the rut again, the rut of sin. But then you heard of Christ, the one who died for your sins, the one who promised to take your sin away, that sin that has bound you, that has blinded you. And you heard of Christ. And one day, like old blind Bartimaeus, you heard of Jesus of Nazareth that's passing by. You heard the gospel. I remember, preacher, it was September of 1970. I went to church for the second Sunday in a row. That was a record. The first Sunday I went was just to get my mom to babysit our children when my wife and I wanted to do something. But I heard a message. It got me thinking. And I realized that I was in a rut of sin. I went back to church again the next Sunday. Heard another salvation message. And Christ was clearly presented. And I heard as He was passing by that Sunday morning, that He was the answer for the rut of sin that I was in. Oh, I was looking for something. I had no peace. I had no direction. I had no understanding. I was spiritually blind. But I heard about Jesus, that He loved me, that He died for my sin. If I will simply put my faith in Christ, He'll forgive my sin. He'll give me spiritual eyes to see with. I knew there was something wrong. I knew there was something missing desperately in my life. And that Sunday morning, and preacher, I'll never forget it. Never forget it. I remember crying out, not aloud, but deep inside, I cried out to Jesus and said, "Save me, thou son of David. Have pity on me. I realize I can't save myself. I can't get out of this rut of sin. But oh, You can deliver me." I didn't say it aloud like blind Bartimaeus did, but I said it within my soul from the depths of my heart. And with the heart, man believes unto righteousness. That Sunday morning, 43 years ago this month, I got out of my sin rut. My sins were taken away. I received Christ as my Savior. He did for me to get me out of my rut, as He did for blind Bartimaeus to get him out of his physical blindness and out of his rut of daily sitting by the wayside. Hopelessly blind. He did for me what He did for blind Bartimaeus. And many, many in this room could share testimony of the same thing. It's different circumstances, yet similar. You were lost, you were spiritually blind, but one day Jesus was presented to you and you cried out from within, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And He gave you mercy and he gave you grace and you were saved. His circumstances were not ideal, but he went ahead and did what he knew what he needed to do and cries out to Jesus. With no question, as I read that text, that Bartimaeus knew that Jesus could help him. He knew it. He knew if he could only get his attention, if he could only could grab his attention just for a moment, that Jesus could do something for him that no one else could do. And he knew that. He realized his only hope was in Christ. No doctor, no medicine. The medicines and doctors were very pathetic during that time. He realized only Christ could do for him what he needed to have done. So he began to cry out with a loud voice, "Jesus, thou son of David! Jesus, thou son of David!" Now watch here. He would not let others' opinion change him. Look again at verse 48. And many, now he was crying out, "Have mercy on me, thou son of David." And many, verse 48, charged him that he should hold his peace. Can you imagine? Imagine with me now. Use your imagination for a moment. Here comes this huge crowd, Jesus being in the middle of it, his disciples, and a great multitude of people. And there was people gathered all around, realizing who was coming through town. Not only was there a greater crowd of people following him, but there was a greater crowd of people around the road. And here's one man who raises his voice apparently greater than any other person raised their voice and said with a very clear, loud voice, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." Now imagine the critics. "Bartimaeus, who do you think you are? You think you're something special? Well, what? Just hold your peace. Listen, he's too busy for you. He's got his 12 apostles. He's got this great crowd. He's in the midst of a wonderful revival right now. He's got a lot of things on his mind. He's got a lot of people to see. He's got a lot of things to do. Hold your peace." But you gotta love Bartimaeus. He realized this is his only hope. He was not going to allow the opinion of someone else to keep him from his only chance to get out of the rut. Now please hear me. Sometimes we are prone to succumb to peer pressure, other people's opinions. There are opportunities sometimes for us to get out of a rut that we find ourselves in, only to be discouraged by other people, and we stay in the rut. Listen, you don't need to become some kind of religious fanatic. I mean, you go to church once a week, that's all. Sunday morning's all you need. There's no reason for you to go back Sunday night and Wednesday night. You don't need that. You just be a nominal, marginal Christian. By the way, that's how most of the world is. You don't want to stick out above the world. Hold your peace. Just be mundane. Just fit in with the rest of the crowd. Just shut up about this Jesus stuff. And there's a multitude of Christians that are stuck in a rut because they allow the opinions of other people to keep them in that rut. Where God's got a plan for us as His children to rise above the mundane, to rise above the crowd. He wants to do something for us that no one else can do. Not your parents, not your children, not your grandparents, not your best friend, not your neighbors. Only Jesus can do for us what we need the most. And we cannot allow the opinion of other people to keep us in a rut. But what if Bartimaeus allowed that crowd, in their opinion, to silence him. He never would have got the attention of the Messiah. He would have never got an opportunity to share his need. If he would just allowed the opinion of other people to silence him, he would have went through the rest of his life blind Bartimaeus. Blind Bartimaeus. Stuck in the rut. But no, he didn't. If you read your text, he cried out even the more. And I don't think he said it just one more time. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. He didn't say that just one more time. He said it the more. Jesus, thou son of David. 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 We have to rise above the crowd, folks. There's too many people. There's too many Christians. There's too many churches stuck in a rut. Because we're fearful of the opinion of other people. What will they think if I sell out to Jesus? What would they think if I vocalize Christ? What if they think if I testify aloud? What would they think if I witness on the job? Or what would they think if I witness at school? What will my family think if I begin to go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, in prayer meeting and visitation? What will they think about me? They'll think I'm some kind of nut, religious nut. That's what they'll think. And you settle for the mundane rut of Christianity. And that's not what Christ wants. He would not allow the opinion of others to keep him from Christ. Notice, and this is key, verse 51. Verse 49 says, Jesus stood still. He got his attention and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, arise, rise, he calleth thee. He casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. Now notice 51 now. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what will thou that I should do unto thee? Now here's the key. Bartimaeus identified his problem. Now follow me. Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? And the blind man said unto him, Lord, if I only stopped bumping into things. Did I read that right? No, hardly. Lord, if I could only feed myself without getting ketchup all over my shirt. Lord, if I could only shave my face. Lord, if I could only walk without stumbling. Lord, if I can only walk without slamming in headfirst into things. Now, was that his problem? Slamming into things and unable to shave and getting food all over his shirt? Was that his real problem? No. They were symptomatic of his real problem. He identified the real problem. It wasn't the stumbling and slamming into things and getting food on his shirt. Those were symptoms of his problem of being blind. He clearly identified his problem to the Lord and said, Lord, that I might receive my sight. I am blind. Now, here's a problem. Now, follow me now. There's a lot of people find themselves in a rut, will not be honest as to what has caused the rut. They will only identify the symptoms and not the problem. Well, I find myself yelling and screaming Well, I find myself slamming the doors. I find myself driving recklessly and chasing people down on the road. Those are symptomatics of a problem you have with anger. You have uncontrolled temper. Well, I find myself arguing with my wife. I find myself too flirtatious with the opposite sex. I find myself unhappy in my life. You have a real serious marriage problem. That's the problem with your marriage. But could it be because, and here's the real problem, of selfishness? Wanting what you want. You're just selfish. That's why you're in the rut. Sure, you have marriage problems. Sure, you find yourself fighting with your wife. Sure, you find there's a lot of difficulties in your relationship with your mate and with your children. But could your problem be the real cause of the rut is your selfishness? You just want your way. You want things done the way you want them done. And if she doesn't go along with it, you find yourself yelling at her and getting angry at her, and you guys fight all the time. You find yourself screaming at your children because they don't do things exactly the way you want it, and they don't tend to your needs. I contend that plain old-fashioned selfishness has caused a person to find themselves in a very deep rut. It has caused untold symptomatic problems in your family. You have no idea how many couples that I've dealt with in my office as a pastor for the 25 years I pastored. As we unpeel the layers of the things, finally to realize that the root cause of this problem they had in their marriage and their family, the key was selfishness. The Lord tells us, the Bible tells us, Ephesians chapter 5, that husbands to love your wife as Christ also loved the church. And that kind of love, folks, is totally unselfish. So many times a selfish wife, a selfish husband, a selfish child can cause untold problems and deep ruts are dug in families. And the root cause, so many times, goes back to plain old selfishness. Old Bartimaeus, he knew who his problem was. Oh, he knew the symptoms of his problem of banging into things and bumping into people and getting ketchup on his shirt and stumbling around. He knew the symptoms, but he identified the problem. It's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Not my brother, not my sister, not it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Lord, that I might receive my sight. We're so prone, please hear me now, while in the rut, to blame others for the rut we're in. And instead of identifying the problem, and once we openly identify the problem and get honest with ourselves, and we'll never be honest with the Lord until we're first honest with ourselves. Lord, it's me. I've caused, through my selfishness, through my anger, Lord, I've caused untold problems, and Lord, it is me. Heal me. I can't blame others for my rut. I've dug my own ditch. We got to identify the problem. And that comes through honesty. If Bartimaeus never identified his problem and was just honest with Jesus, said, "Lord, I'm blind, that I might receive my sight." If he never done that, the Lord would have never healed him. Because he wants us to realize why we are in our blindness. That we are blind, and he's the only one can deliver us from our rut. Couple more thoughts and I'll quit. Notice as he was making his way in verse 49, in verse 50, making his way to Jesus, he says, "And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus." In other words, he removed all hindrances to keep him coming freely to Christ. "Be of good comfort. He calleth for thee. He calleth for me. He calleth for me." What did he do? He said, "This cloak I got, this coat is encumbersome. I might trip over it." He removed it. He removed all hindrances and went to the Master, the healer. Dare say, there's some things that's hindering you from coming to Christ and getting you out of the rut. Is it your pride? I don't know. Is there something in your life that hinders you from coming to Christ? Is it some kind of habit? Are you blaming people? What is it that's hindering you, keeping you in the rut? Whatever those hindrances might be, folks, they're not worth it. Blaming people's not worth it. Your pride's not worth it. Whatever keeps you in and hindering you from coming to Christ, you must remove it as Bartimaeus removed that cloak and then come to Jesus. And what happened? We just read it. He received his sight. And immediately, not a day later, not 3 days later, not a week later, not a month later, but immediately, he received his sight. He got out of the rut. He got out of the rut. And notice this little phrase in closing. And immediately, he received his sight. And what's that next word? And followed Jesus in the way. No, he wasn't stumbling down the highway. He wasn't led by the hand by someone else as he followed Jesus. He now had sight. And he could just follow Jesus by watching and keeping his eyes on Christ. He followed him in the way. See, what God wants for us is his best. And we can never receive his best while in the rut. Once we allow him, by us identifying the problem and being honest, allow him to move the scales from our spiritual eyes, that we can step out of the rut and become true followers of Christ as he would have us to follow him. And we'll have deliverance from those ruts that so hinder us in our faith. We need to emulate Bartimaeus and cry out to Jesus, "Thou Son of David, have mercy on me." Once we get honest and identify the problem, he'll touch us. And then, and only then, can we follow Jesus in the way. So many are trying to follow Jesus, but you're failing. Why? You're in the rut. You're in the rut. Let's all stand.